Welcome to Lecture 18. We are now coming to the end of C++ for Game Developers, Module 2. This is the last lecture corresponding to a chapter in the textbook. The final lecture will review key topics from each lesson and provide some tips on how to prepare for the final exam. Chapter 17 was an important chapter, so let's review. The first key idea we learned about was how to modify our message loop so that it is more game-friendly. Essentially, we instruct the program to process window messages if they exist, but if no messages are occurring, then we should execute some game code instead. This was done primarily with the peak message function. The second key idea from Chapter 17 was on how to compute the time that elapses between frames, or in other words, the time difference between cycles of the game loop. As we saw, this calculation is not difficult, but it is important because it allows us to sync our game processes based on how much time has elapsed. For example, we will want animations to animate with respect to time, so we need to know how much time has passed so that we can update the animation appropriately. Next, we learned how to compute the frames per second, or in other words, how many game loop cycles are being processed per second. This is a useful feedback mechanism indicating the performance of a real-time application, such as a game. After that, we discussed double buffering and how it is used to eliminate flickering. This is a very fundamental graphics concept, because obviously flickering for a graphics application is unacceptable. Double buffering works because we draw to an off-screen surface which is not visible. After all the drawing is complete, we then present that off-screen surface to the Windows client area in one bit blit. Because no overdraw is visible to the user with this technique, no flickering is observed. Finally, we learned about sprites, where we load 2D images for our graphics as bitmaps. We then use a masking process to block certain pixels from being drawn to the back buffer. The net effect is that we can draw non-rectangular 2D images to the back buffer, which represent complex game objects. To summarize, we learned how to draw non-rectangular 2D images to the back buffer and how to animate them. We are now ready to proceed with the design and analysis of a simple 2D air hockey game. Our objectives for this lesson are straightforward. 1. To become familiar with a 3-stage software development process of analysis, design, and implementation. And 2. To practice this 3-stage software development process by analyzing an air hockey game, designing an air hockey game, and implementing an air hockey game. In doing so, we will solidify many of the course topics. Note that our discussion here will only cover the big picture of the air hockey game, that is, its design and how the code is organized. The implementation details are quite lengthy and can be found in the textbook and corresponding source code.